Welcome to Harlow on Healthcare. I'm David Harlow, and I invite you to join me by my virtual hearth as I sit down with healthcare leaders to discuss building the future of healthcare. Today, my guest is Anil Sethi, founder and CEO at Citizen. Anil is a self-described product guy who has built and had successful exits from a number of companies. His most recent products are tools for the collection and sharing of healthcare data, Glimpse, acquired a couple of years back by Apple to form the basis of its health record product. And now he is at Citizen, which is a platform for patient-directed health information collection and communication. Welcome, Anil, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
So, Anil, over the course of your career, you've worked on various problems relevant to healthcare. You've spoken publicly before about the impact your sister's illness and death had on your focus on health records. And I am interested in learning more about your journey through healthcare and healthcare data and seeking to solve some intractable problems in the healthcare space.
Let's acknowledge that I'm one of the older guys in a typical room, a lot of gray hair around me. I've been doing this for a couple of decades. I'm a biomedical engineer by background. And when I started doing what turned out to be the first of a couple of startups, there are seven in total, two are in play. The previous five, one failed, one had an exit, one had an IPO, and three had exits, as you're talking about. The last one went to Apple. My interest has always been the extraction of semantic information from proprietary systems, being COBOL or MUMPS, Epic, Cerner, and that has led me to extract two kinds of information or build companies and technologies for the extraction. One is the financial information and one is the clinical information. And so my journey has taken me from financial, which years ago we recognized the pay-for-service model that is shifting to the pay-for-outcomes or pay-for-value. The thing that has always intrigued me about data interoperability, as the industry calls it, is the notion that potentially data portability solves interoperability. And my last point on this topic is that in the go-go days of maybe 20 years ago, we had WordPerfect, a couple of other word processors, and no one thought that Word and WordPerfect needed to, quote, interoperate, but that you could move a portable document around to accomplish the portability that you were looking for. I think the same thing is true in healthcare. You don't need necessarily APIs to interoperate between dozens of clinical systems, if not hundreds. If we could create a single portable standard, I'm interested in participating to bring that technology to the market.
So you talk about having information rather than a data standard, if I'm hearing you correctly, sort of portability of information rather than interoperability of data. And at Citizen, the tools that you're creating really make that point of communication the patient. So one question might be, how do you see it as being important for a patient to be able to collect his or her own records from multiple physicians and healthcare providers? Is there an added value to working all of this through the patient?
There's a couple of underpinnings and a couple of benefits I can see. One is the fact that we've got boomers, at least in the Western countries, aging at the rate of maybe 10, 20,000 boomers a day into 65 and over. They're going into Medicare. They're experiencing chronic conditions, which are long-term conditions and illnesses that may or may not have a pill or a procedure. If you did have something like that to solve the illness, that would be an acute condition. So my point is that we've got a demographic push and an illness wave that's coming for older folks having chronic issues. When you have a chronic issue and it's not resolved in one institution, you go looking for solutions everywhere. I think the the tip of that is late stage metastatic cancer. And I have some experience with that before my sister died.
Yes.
So you are looking for, or the patient, usually the caregiving family member, is looking for all sorts of fragmented and distributed and off the reservation therapies that might, you know, extend the life of, or change the life of a critical care patient. So that's one. I think the industry is moving from acute single brick and mortar to highly fragmented breadcrumb trail of information that you leave behind you. The second is that while interoperability is a emerging standard, and we can point to the good work that the government, OCR, ONC, Graham Greve, and HL7 have done, they're pushing a syntax standard. The problem with that is that it may not be enough data to accomplish anything in the clinical setting. So, for example, when Apple acquired Glimpse, Apple being such a large footprint international company, it's my, I mean, I don't know what they're doing currently these days. I've been out for a year and a half. But it's my assumption that they're going very wide in the coverage of people, but a little bit shallow in the coverage of data. And Citizen has realized, especially in late stage three and four cancer care, you need to be orthogonal to that. You need to go really deep in data and maybe not so wide in patient coverage, just looking at the million, 2 million, 10 million patients suffering in the U.S. today. The point there is that data is best known to exist where it exists by the patient. I've just covered two things. One is the patient over time will have a history of the longitudinal breadcrumb trail they have left behind you, whereas the 17 facilities that Tanya saw in her last year of life, each thought they had one, they had 100% of her information. In practical matters, they had 1/17 of her information. So the patient, it logically makes sense. The other thing is that we've got, you know, healthcare has some of the greatest regulatory requirements, both in the U.S. and overseas with GDPR and others. And in all cases, the patient is allowed to request and fetch all their data under, at least in the U.S., under their HIPAA right of access. But if the vendors in the community force the patient to go through a patient portal, my experience with my little sister, Tanya, has been that when I hit the Epic portal, Epic just being an example, I got some good information. Yeah, that was good. When we used the HIPAA right of access to get all of Tanya's information from the institution, we got 2,300 pages. So clearly, there was about a 20-to-1 ratio of the information that is held on you compared to the information that is coming off of these current APIs. So we believe that the patient ticks the boxes to solve both the regulatory part of clinical data sharing, because the patient's outside of HIPAA, and also a patient-mediated health record is contextualized because the patient is the one owning the story around the clinical information.
The idea that you pose here is that there is value to collecting information on a broad basis, but for perhaps a small subset of patients with complex needs or with multiple care settings. I guess collecting health records seems to me to be the first step, perhaps, on a longer path towards doing something interesting with health data, not only on an individual patient basis, but in some respects, trying to do something more broadly. I recognize, of course, that that first step isn't a simple one, and you've started to talk about some of the challenges there. But what do you think that we can ultimately do, or what do you hope to ultimately do with better organized health data, not just at the individual patient level, but at the population level? Mm-hmm. What are the opportunities there from your perspective?
There's two parts to this, and we can unpack it into data production and data consumption. And what I mean by that is we are seeing all sorts of healthcare, insurance, payers, tech, government, institutions, and agencies interested in operating and scanning and mining the data, the population level data, for all sorts of discoveries. That's great. We call that big data in healthcare. Here's the problem. There is no big data in healthcare. The solution to the lack of true liquidity, true big data in healthcare, is actually small data in healthcare. Data on you, data on me, and 7.3 billion of our closest earthly colleagues. So what we're doing is we're taking a N of one approach where a patient can make a HIPAA request. They typically get PDF documents. Those are unstructured, but that's really where the gory details are found. They're found in the findings section of a pathology report or an imaging report. So our tech goes to try to solve the problem of teaching a machine how to read clinical narrative and produce codified data elements out the front end. This would be equivalent to ExxonMobil, which does two or three big things, but it doesn't do the fourth thing. One is it looks deep underground, and it's a onerous task to try to find where the information is, in this case, crude oil. They extract it, and that's our HIPAA right of access, and then they put it into a refinery, an oil refinery. Crude goes in the back, 93 octane, and other products come out the front, diesel fuel. So we think it's possible to build a data refinery that takes clinical narrative and puts out codified information according to SNOMED, RxNorm, Loing, CPT, what have you. The third step is that you and I don't belly up to a refinery to get our fuel. We go to a marketplace. Citizen is creating a marketplace where patients will use the platform to request and organize their information, and then over time be able to do value exchange across a two-sided marketplace. I really do think this is where the world is going. Patients have to benefit from getting their information.
Now, I want to be clear. When you say a marketplace, do you mean a marketplace for patients to bring their own data to their care providers, or something broader and perhaps more commercial than that?
Yes and no. So all marketplaces are at least two-sided or multi-sided. Take, for example, iTunes. The asset creator, a recording artist, Beyonce, produces a digital asset. I'll just go back a couple of years to MP3s. It's thrown across the transom, and then buyers throw money across the other way. Apple takes a share, but the recording artist, the asset holder, gets the majority. We think there's a place for this. So we also think that a patient who's collecting their longitudinal health history can share it with humans, and they can share it with machines. With humans, I would think that a patient would share it with their clinicians for one-to-one treatment. That's the value proposition. Make me better, improve the outcomes. But there's a secondary repurposing of that data. If you pull it together in populations, we can do all the things that we have talked about, gap analysis, clinical trial, automatic detection. So that's a machine use. And for that, we need to codify the data so it's computable codes, so that machines can run a scanner overnight to see if you qualify for clinical trials, for example. Those are the two values that we think accrue to patients once we get patients to mediate their own data.
If you're just tuning in, this is Harlow on Healthcare, coming to you on Healthcare Now Radio. I'm David Harlow, and my guest today is Anil Sethi, founder and CEO of Citizen. Anil, one of your investors calls the data you're trying to collect and organize dark data. Do you think that's a fair description of health data? What does that descriptor mean to you?
I think it's at least partially fair. Let me throw a statistic, and whether it's right or wrong, you can challenge me. The growth of digital data on each of us far outstrips the expansion of purely what I would call financial or billing or coding data by at least 20 to 1. So what that means is there's a lot of information that's sitting behind firewalls and in private portals, and that's a whole discussion that people have been talking about. How do we get the silo data out? We think it's the patient because it makes sense. That dark data includes the clinical narrative, which we're just beginning to talk about pushing out through, let's say, a FHIR endpoint or an API, clinical notes. But that's where the juice is. It's in the DICOM CT images. It's in the PRO, patient-reported outcome, and some people call it PROs. It's the collection of all that information that is digitized, but it's not co-located with any single entity. And so we do think that all of that data co-located with the patient so they can share it, no HIPAA violation, I think that's the way to go.
Okay. And again, as you said, a lot of that data is unstructured data. And we think sometimes that now that we have electronic health records, we have all this wonderful data that can be looked at and analyzed and reviewed. But in fact, much of it is in fact just sort of clinical notes and narrative data that's not structured. And as you said earlier, you're looking at taking a step forward there by structuring some of that unstructured data.
We do this because there's a recognition that the original mandate for electronic health or electronic clinical records was answered more so by billing and organizational CPT and ICD were the code sets that were most important, where today we would recognize it's RxNorm and Loinc and SNOMED on the clinical side. So as we move from pay for activity, and those activities are referenced by those code sets, we may not need those code sets and a charge capture and billing application as much as we'd like a clinical app. So I think there's a movement over the next 10 years for a future generation of clinical medical record systems to be far more unstructured, and therefore there needs to be technology that structures from, that essentially makes Excel from a Word document. So I would agree with you. That's where the world is going.
Right. And in a sense, in addition to just moving from quote unquote big iron to the cloud, there's also, I think, a move away from a single, well, as you said, not a single record, but 17 separate parallel records, each of which thinks it's a single record, to really, if you will, more transaction notes, if you will, a note about an individual encounter that can then be incorporated into a longitudinal record for a patient. So it's not a matter of shuffling together 17 separate records, but encounter from day one over here, encounter from day two over there, encounter from day 10 back over here, all structured into a single record. And perhaps that's something that's achievable in the cloud, given the technology that we have at our disposal.
That's probably more right and more immediate than we really give credit to the ecosystem. So, for example, there's plus or minus 250 HIEs in the U.S., health information exchanges, which you and I would know as a network of networks. In any region, they'll connect clinical offices, step-down facilities, SNFs, and large hospitals. So in this little HIE server room, if you will, there's a hub-and-spoke gateway that knows how to pull encounter information. They're already integrated into Epic and Cerner and Meditech and Allscripts, and they know how to push a limited amount of information back into these individuals. Mm-hmm. So let's use an example that I am seen in a region by three separate hospitals and an imaging center. So that's four facilities. Each has a snapshot on me. We'll just make it easy. Each has 25% of the data on me. An HIE can ping each 25% data, bring it together, documents, send it into this chipper shredder that we have in the cloud or we're building in the cloud, and out comes a longitudinal record that co-locates and codifies all four visits. We can push that back as a CCD through the, as a clinical care document, a standard that people have adopted,
right,
and push it back into Epic and Cerner in their outside documents tab. So they have the internal acute information, let's say Epic, and then they can click over to the outside document and see what's been done outside of their facility, which they are typically blind to.
Right. Yeah, very important. Now, that all is a sort of a data solution to a data problem, if you will. But a lot of what I hear you talking about is the quest to humanize healthcare. And I guess the question for me is where do you see the tension and where do you see the resolution of the tension between the desire to humanize healthcare and the need to rely on some digital tools in order to do so?
I'm taking a pause as I think about the emergence of modern healthcare from post-World War in the United States. The patient typically beforehand was very much involved. They were participatory as compared to the somewhat paternalistic term that people have used to define the relationship of the patient to the health system. The patient is typically understood as the most underutilized but highly valuable resource that we're not tapping on.
Right.
So by pushing the clinical data through and mediating it through the patient, we automatically provide incentive to the clinical side, my healthcare provider, to ask the following question. So, for example, hey, are you a citizen? If so, can you share all your information with me? Because I can provide better service, thus I'll get better outcomes, and of course, this will drop to my bottom line. I think this is a win-win, that if we look at the cultural divide, the cultural insulation between the patient currently and the healthcare ecosystem, and we bridge that, that's going to provide the benefits to the health ecosystem that they are not currently seeing.
So, Anil, to wrap things up, if you were to wake up tomorrow and find yourself 5 years in the future, what is one thing in healthcare that you would hope or that you would expect will have changed drastically?
I will share a knee-jerk and then a more thoughtful response. My knee-jerk is I am committed, along with many others worldwide, to making sure this is the last generation that sees cancer as a death sentence. So that's my overarching need to work in the community. Specifically, I like the term BYOD, bring your own data. We need a patient-mediated, controlled proxy of their healthcare in the cloud so that all the machine learning and AI and calculators that people are talking about can be the equivalent, I'm not going to say a digital doctor, but a digital triage nurse. So digital triage has to run against a digital patient in cyberspace. And from a regulatory, technical, moral, ethical standpoint, I see patients as the solution to solving interoperability. I think that'll happen in the coming years between 3 and 5. And I'm hoping that bring your own data is the model that we adopt.
Well, that's an inspiring vision of the future. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for joining us today.
It was a pleasure. Thanks again.
You have been listening to Harlow on Healthcare. Join us at healthcarenowradio.com. Let's continue the conversation on building the future of healthcare together at #HarlowOnHC. I'm David Harlow, keeping the fire going and holding a seat open for you. Until next time.